Tom, you might need this. He let me borrow his Bible for something. I've been toting it around the whole morning. We don't want him to be lost. So, not that you are lost. Hey, before we get started, something I should have mentioned a little earlier is, we have a lady that prays for all of you all the time. And she is the chairman of our intercessory prayer group, Zoe. And you know her. We're praying for her on Wednesday. And then opportunity to go to the doctor opened up for her on Thursday. And an opportunity for her to have surgery opened up on Friday. So she is, I don't even know if she knows where she is right now, but be praying for her. What's that? Okay, so she's clear. They do surgery on me. I don't know. I don't want to know where I'm at for 3 days at least. So, but we're going to be, we're studying Nehemiah. And, well, we've already looked at chapter 1 and half of chapter 2. And today we look at the second half of chapter 2. Nehemiah's vision. You know, we may have heard things in our conversations around where we say, you hear people say, what the church needs today is fill in the blank, or more commonly maybe is I can't believe our government officials. If I was there, this is what I would do. Or our schools are in really bad shape. Someone ought to do something about them. And with the list can go on and go on and go on. In our society, with gripers, complainers, self-proclaimed prophets, and armchair quarterbacks abound, especially in the things that are going on, and with the news, and with the different things that we are exposed to. It's very common for us to sit around to talk about the problems in our world, and our jobs, and our community, our neighborhoods, and wherever we may be. Sometimes even about our church. But what we really need are people who not only will talk about it, but people who will get up and do something about those problems rather than merely just discussing them. Not just doing something out of the flesh because it's a good idea, but out of conviction that is born from the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of character that we have come to see in Nehemiah. He was a Jewish alien. And when I say alien, I mean foreigner. I know some of the children might be thinking that Nehemiah is from a different planet, but he's in the land of Persia, and the Jewish nation had been taken into captivity about a century and a half prior to where we are now. And up to a few months ago, and biblically speaking in this text, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And as we know, if you've been here, you know that that Nehemiah was convicted. He had never been to the capital city of Israel, which was Jerusalem, but he had heard the news of its just being devastated, of its desolation, and the trouble that its people were having, and God just crushed his heart. And so we've been following that. But here what we're looking at today is Nehemiah had a vision. If you remember, he spent 4 months praying and fasting. And not that he fasted for the whole four months, but he took times of praying and fasting, and that God would give him favor with the king, and God would show him what he can do for the city of his forefathers. And so through this, God has been opening up doors. And last week we saw that he went on a journey. We have to remember that this journey that he took was about 3 months. So up to this time, to the point that Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, had been a minimum of 7 months. But the purpose of today's message will be to look at Nehemiah's example. And discover what is a vision. Now, what we're talking about here, we're not talking about like a, you may think of a vision as being a dream or a prophetic picture that, spiritual, vision that it's experienced. That's not what we're talking about here today. This vision that we're talking about today, it's an idea. Or it's something that gives birth to an idea that will fuel your pursuit of God and whatever He has put on your heart to accomplish. But that's what we're looking at in Nehemiah today. How does this vision formulate? How do we respond to this vision? Because we have ideas that come across all the time. But how do we go about seeing if they're a vision that or an idea that we've created, or if it's one that God has put on our heart? And that's what we'll be looking at today. And it's my prayer that as we look at this, that the Lord will either confirm your vision or give a birth to a vision as you, like Nehemiah, look to pursue and serve God. Let's read Nehemiah 2:11 through 20. It says, "So I came," and remember, Nehemiah wrote this out of the first person, so when we look at the word I, that's Nehemiah. It says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem, and there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and on to the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for any mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I'd gone or what I'd done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the bad situation we are in? That Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, so that we will no longer be a reproach.' I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?' So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem.'" So here we see a lot in this passage. There we start off by seeing that Nehemiah, he came, and remember, he came, he had some soldiers, he came with several hundred other people, and he didn't just enter the city and say, "Here I am, we're going to build a wall, and I'm sent by the king, and I'm this great person that's going to solve all your problems and help you worship better." And no, he didn't. He wasn't that kind of man. He came in and he entered quietly. Said that he was there for 3 days. He spent some time resting. And in resting alone, there is a whole other sermon, a sermon series on rest and what we can do. But we won't go there today. But we see here that Nehemiah, just as this all started quietly and in prayer, he again was seeking his God, because he was called for a purpose. And that's what brings today into our listening outline. Our first point is with Nehemiah, we see that our vision must begin with God. It must begin with God. Look in verse 12. It specifically says there, it says, "And I rose in the night, and I had a few men with me." And then listen to this part here. It says, "I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind." Not, he didn't say what I had on my mind, the plans that I had, the things that I wanted to do, not the things that I thought were great, not the things that my wife and I, came over, dinner time, that this would be really what the city needs. He said what God had put into my mind. A vision which has a place in its church, has the purposes of salvation and sanctification, will always, always, always begin with God. So many times, and we can maybe even argue that that sometimes we do things for God, and we do it in the hopes that it will honor God, but we never, and I say we never, oftentimes we may never pray to God and seek Him in the development of this vision. So many times we'll get involved in the organization and the operation of the church. Now the church, it's the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and also the mode that Christ has established to lead in restoration in the world today. I mean, just thinking of it from those terms is huge. But often we'll take the operation and the organization and the purpose and the mission of it into our own hands. Because, hey, it seems right to do. Let's go and do it. And also where you work, where you go to school, you may have a vision statements in place. You may even have visions for your own life, and this is what we want to do. But we even have a vision for our church here. And even in that, I even have some pie in the sky thoughts that need some prayer. But the vision that we're talking about today is not what you would find in your school, not what you would find in your workplace, not what you have maybe created for your own life. But the vision that we're talking about today is that which God can give only through His Holy Spirit. I think what we've been studying the last few weeks and Sunday and on Wednesdays, especially on Wednesdays, has really just revealed that anything outside of the Holy Spirit that we attempt to do is may seem worth something, but in the long run, it is not. This vision must be through the Holy Spirit, which God works, what we've read in Ephesians 2:10 several times, which God works out the things that He has planned for you for the purpose of bringing restoration to the relationships between our God and those that are in our life that do not know God. It's about restoration. So we see here a vision must first begin with God. Next, we see here that our vision must be examined. Now by examine, I'm talking about investigated. It needs to be evaluated. It needs to be meditated. It needs to be well planned. It needs to be just prayed over. Now Andy Stanley, which is a preacher, it's the preacher son of another preacher, Charles Stanley, you all may know him. I'm reading his study of Nehemiah and visions has been a real big help on studying this book. But he had a thing that said, walk before you talk. Investigate before you initiate. And that's the point. What that is saying is do your homework. If we're going to go and launch a vision and we're going to say, hey, this is what our life's about, this is what our church is about, this is what we're going to do for God, we need to know. No, have we walked it? Have we prayed it? Have we gone through? Have we examined it? Nehemiah had a God-given plan. He had a God-given idea. But we see in verses 12 through 16, and we won't read those because we just did, but we see that he still took the time to investigate upon his arrival. He went there before he talked to any. It said before he talked to any of the leaders, any of the priests, any of the officials, any of the people doing the work. Before he talked to anybody, he was there. He rested and he snuck out at night. I don't know if he snuck out. He was free to do what he wanted. But he went out at night and he investigated before he shared the vision with other people. It's important that we know exactly what we're talking about before we lead in a God-led a vision. And what I want to talk about here is that there is benefits to examinations. And there's really three that are pointed out here. when we're examining, and we've been following Nehemiah as he's been examining this call before God. We even talked a couple weeks ago when he had heard the news about the city being just devastated, the people, in desolation, and he was just broke. And I imagine that he prayed. He said, God, I hadn't even been to this city. Yeah, my ancestors come from this city, but I was born in captivity. And he probably had to deal with, why do I even have a heart for this? Lord, why do you want me to go and do this? Is it me even supposed to go do this? He examined it through prayer. He fasted. He sought God with everything. He was desperate for him. When your vision is God driven, you will have this desperate sense to seek God in it. But what are the benefits of examining and seeking this in such a way? First of all, we see that it is to confirm your vision. It's so easy to get ahead of God. We just talked about that. It's just, we get and we start something because it's a great idea, and this seems like a Christian thing to do, and it seems like something that would be really good in life, and sometimes maybe it'll promote my social status either where I work or in my life or in my church or different things. But if we really think we're doing something for God and we examine it, when we humbly examine it, it will confirm our vision. I tell you, whenever you are trying to exercise a vision for God and you just keep coming against just stronghold after stronghold after stronghold, it might be a sign that, maybe that's not the way that God wants you to go, or maybe it's not the right timing that God wants you to go there. But evaluation brings confirmation. Next, it also helps us to define your vision. And what I mean by define, because this idea might be something that is very, very interesting, something that we say, hey, we can solve this problem, we can do this, we'll do it in the name of the Lord, and I feel like I'm supposed to do this and that. But as we evaluate, it defines it even clearer. Okay, we're going to solve world hunger. And as we look at it, well, we can't really solve world hunger, but we can maybe do something in Pensacola. But then even as we look at that, it's too big. We can't do Pensacola. So maybe we can do all the southwest of Escambia County. Well, that's even might be a little big. So then we're led to, hey, maybe we can do 32506 and 32507. Ah, there, now you've defined your vision. That's what I want you to focus in on. Now, that's kind of, I walked through that. I don't know how that's why we do things in the food bank today. It just was a good example. But it defines our vision. It gives further definition that God said, okay, yeah, I want you to start here, but what about this? What about that? So as we spend time, it defines it. Next, a benefit from examination can be that it exposes your vision. And what I mean by exposes it, you discover some things that maybe you were mistaken about. Maybe you discover some holes that are in your plan. Maybe you discover that, hey, I'm ahead of God on this. Maybe this isn't exactly where I was supposed to go. Maybe I moved too quickly. Y'all probably familiar with that term, haste makes waste. When it comes to serving God, haste most often makes waste. So how do I investigate? How do I see if my vision's been confirmed? How do I define it? How do I expose it? And now sometimes when we expose it, I should have added too, sometimes when our vision is exposed, we learn maybe it's not our vision. Maybe it was a vision for somebody else. But how do we investigate? Well, just as we saw in Nehemiah, we have to pray. That's why 2014 we've called the year of prayer, because it's so essential. It's so essential. It's not about what we do. It's not about how we dress, what songs we sing, what scriptures that we read. It's about praying and seeking God with all that we are, and then just praying that His Holy Spirit would reveal His truth to us. It's not about anything else other than that. So any investigation, any examination of any vision that God may have placed on your life must begin in prayer. So we can ask questions. Ask questions to God in prayer. Maybe ask questions to those that may have something to do with your vision. Maybe if it's a call to ministry, maybe you want to talk to your pastor or talk to a mentor or somebody. Maybe it's something else, and you just need to maybe ask questions about it. Well, what does this mean? And how does this look? And is this really, you think, God working here? And then maybe other people will pray with you as well. Next is there, you know, that goes along with this, is there someone that you should talk to? You know, if you're looking at youth ministry, or if you're looking at feeding hungry people, or if you're looking at doing different things, maybe you need to find out more information by talking to specific people that could help you out. Sometimes I find that help, that mapping it out. I don't know, I'm not organized, but I'm a thinker. And I like getting my sticky pads and making lists and looking at it from this way and that way, and that, hey, this is our vision, this is what we want to do, we're going to do it in our church. Ah, but we see it won't work because of this. Well, God, what do you want us to do here? It helps to map it out to see how God wants us to work. Maybe sometimes reading books. You know, some of them, oh, we don't read books. The truth is that most adults don't read books very often, and outside of fiction or nonfiction or whatever storybooks are. But read some books. You know, if you want to, you know, if this ministry or this kind of vision has put on your heart, well, what have others experienced? Not that the book has it right. Read it with a critical mind. You know, somebody might be out there and, well, all I need is the Bible. Okay, well, that's great. But some of these other people that are fellow Christians, iron sharpens iron, that they have some ideas and some experiences that may help you. And you have to read it with a critical mind, saying, well, that doesn't apply. Well, I don't agree with that. But hey, this really opens my eyes to something else. Read some books. One of the best ways is to experiment. We've been talking about that all off and on. We need to experiment, and especially a church that is starting new things and learning new things. Sometimes we just got to get our feet wet. You know, but what if we fail? We've talked about that. It's okay to fail. Now we know how not to do it, and we'll try it a different way. And sometimes that getting your feet wet might be in visiting places, maybe in exploring, maybe volunteering, observing. We just got to try it out. And again, through prayer and through prayer. But the benefits of examination is great, but there's also barriers to it. Most often we find ourselves where we will not examine ourselves. We will not examine our vision. And some of those barriers is, the first one is impatience. I don't know, have you ever struggled with impatience? It goes back to what we just talked about, how haste makes waste. Can you imagine Nehemiah if he got there and he said, man, I've been praying for 4 months. It took me 3 months to get here. And I imagine it took him some time to pack up the horses. And if you remember, and if you think about this, he got permission to cut timber from the king's forest. Well, guess what? He had to go cut down those trees, make the wood, and then he had to carry it there with him. So it's very possible that it's longer than 7 months. And so he gets there and he's like, you know, I don't have time to walk around a bunch of broken down walls. I already know the problem. Let's just get busy. Think many people would follow him there? Probably not. But that impatience. Next, a barrier to examination is pride. Oh, pride. It can well up quick. And pride can be there and we not even know it until we've messed everything up. Imagine Nehemiah, and he said, you know, come in here and said, well, what's the use of walking around and looking at these walls? What else can I possibly learn? You know, no, that wasn't Nehemiah. Probably one of the biggest ones, though, is fear. It's fear. I'm afraid that if I discovered how bad things really were, then I would be discouraged. Or the fear of, hey, what if I try this and I mess up? And we've talked about if God's calling us to do something, and if he's given us a vision to be a part, to exercise our spiritual gift in some way, I guarantee that it's going to be a part that's going to require a step of faith. You want me to do what? You want me to be a part of the prayer team? You want me to be an encourager? You want me to go and share Christ? You want me to go and work here with these people who are in need? I'm not good enough for that, Lord. That's too difficult. I don't think I'm skilled to do that. What if I mess up? Fear, impatience, pride, and fear are the barriers to examination. And those are the barriers that keep many visions from ever getting off the ground. Not with Nehemiah, though. Finally, we see that our vision once we've gone and we've confirmed it, we've defined it, we've exposed it, and we're ready to move forward with it, now it's time for our vision to be expressed. And what I mean by expressed, it needs to be shared. It needs to be communicated. It needs to be shared with other people. We see that Nehemiah shares his vision when we look in verses 17 and 18. And it said, we look at the verses in 17 where Nehemiah had just done his exploration. And it says, and then he came to the people and it says, and I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. Now, I imagine that Nehemiah was very enthusiastic when he was sharing this. But look, we see four components that are in these two verses when Nehemiah was sharing his vision. First, we see that there is a problem. You can't have an effective vision without having a problem. And now the vision is not the problem, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But here we see in verse 17, the first part of it, where Nehemiah says, hey, we're in a bad situation. There was a problem. There was a need. Not only was it a bad situation, he says Jerusalem is desolate, and its gates are burned by fire. There's a problem here, folks. Now you got to realize that these people, they've been living there for almost a century with the walls crushed, and they're like, yeah, okay, we've been living with these walls, and there's nothing we can do about it. Or maybe they thought that. But here, Nehemiah said, hey, you're in a bad situation. And then he said, I have a solution. And that's the next component to developing a vision. That there's a solution. And this is what the vision is. The vision is the solution. This is where God presses on your heart. Hey, there is a need for something in my life or in the people that are in my life or in my community or in my church. There is a need and I have been given a solution. The solution is the vision. I've been given a vision. My vision for this, to meet this need is, and we see that Nehemiah here, he had a solution. He had a vision. And then we see that's the whole, what all this is built around. His calling was, and we see it says, where he said, we're in a bad situation. Come, let us rebuild the wall. We're in a bad situation. We're exposed. We're in danger. We can't be protected. If we're going to really grow this city, then we need to have protection. We're in a bad place, and I have a solution for it. Let's build the wall. And I bet there's somebody in there that was thinking, yeah, right, we thought about that like 90 years ago, and it's just, how are we going to build this wall? But then we see, not only did he point out the problem, not only did he say, hey, I have a solution, I have a vision to share with you on this, there was a purpose. He had a purpose. And we see in this last part of verse 17, where he says, let's come and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And he says, so that we will no longer be a reproach. And what this reproach means is, if you remember the history of this, is that the Israelites, they were sinful. And God just called them and called them and called them and warned them over and over again. And then he finally fulfilled what he said in Deuteronomy 30. He said, hey, I'm gonna crush you. I'm going to send you away from this promised land. You will pay a price for being disobedient and serving other gods. But he begged them to repent, 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 over and over and over again. But they refused to do so. So they were punished. They were a reproach. And if you remember Nehemiah's prayer, he said, he reminded God that, he said, all right, God, you said that this would happen. You said that if we didn't follow you, that this was going to happen, these bad things were going to happen, but you made a promise again, that when we turn to you and we seek you with all that we are, that you would bring us back, that you would reestablish us. So Nehemiah was saying, hey, the purpose of this is God is going to remove this reproach. This is the purpose of what we're doing. We're no longer under that. God is rebuilding us. And then we see the last element of an effective vision is important. Why is this important? People must know, okay, you have a problem, okay, we've seen it, we've been it, we've lived it. You bring a solution, okay, that's great. You give us a reason why it should be done, and okay, that makes sense, but why must it be done now? Why is it so important? And then we see in verse 18 that Nehemiah has shared with him, shared with the folks everything that we've already read in Nehemiah 1 and in the first part of 2. He told him how his brother came and shared the news and how God broke his heart and how he prayed and how he fasted. And then not only at that, and he prayed specifically for specific things, if you remember. And he prayed for favor with the king. And then he shared with him. And then one day I was sitting there and the king asked me. And I was afraid and I prayed to my God. And then God just granted me the favor that I had prayed for. And not only did the king say, yes, I could go, but then he said, what do you need? I said, I need trees from your forest. I need protection. I need letters to the governors in the area. And the king not only gave him what he needed, but he gave him more than what he was needing. And he said, hey, look at this. Not only has God put this on my heart, but he has enabled me to fulfill this vision. And then he also has sent the king's blessing. So I'm here to build the wall today because of God, and look at the path that he has opened up for us to do it. Was he afraid? I'm sure he was. Well, we see that he was afraid. And last week, there's a part when he was afraid. What did he do? He prayed. The vision, it must be expressed. It must be the problem. The vision or the solution to fill it. The purpose and why it's important. You know, spiritual renewal often begins with one person's vision. Nehemiah had a vision, and again, I think he shared it with just enthusiasm and confidence, because imagine what he's been through. Imagine the brokenness, and then how he just sees the hand of God just leading him to where he is today. And I imagine those 3 days, he was like, wow, I cannot believe I'm actually here. And then God just opens this up. Isn't it easy to often just underestimate people? It's so easy to underestimate people, and we don't challenge them with our visions, with our dreams for God's work in the world. You know, when God establishes an idea or a vision in our hearts or a calling to accomplish something, when we share it, we have to trust the Holy Spirit. Because I guarantee that as he's putting this vision in us, that there are people that most likely have similar thoughts, that are praying and saying, how can I do this? I won't go into that story here, but I see this happening all the time. All the time. One of the things that if you remember, I've talked about that orphanage that I got to. It was not yet an orphanage, but it's becoming an orphanage as we speak. Stuck in the middle of Africa. Not stuck. I was there by choice. And then I've learned that there needed to be an orphanage. And then I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, well, how can we do? What can we do? And then come to realize that wasn't for me to do. But because I was able to learn about it, there is now a group of people that are building an orphanage for 37 and more orphans in the middle of Africa. And there was a part, I have to confess this. There was a part where, like, wait, God brought this to me. You know, I'm going to lead my church to do this. And God was real clear, hey, this isn't for you. And I had to let that go. But what if they don't do a good enough job? They weren't there. They don't see the need. I said, all right, Lord, this is yours. Often God uses one person to express the vision of others to turn it into a reality. You may have a vision, you may have a solution, but you may not have the ability to actually get it done without other people. I mean, haven't we talked about that and we've read about that? There's unity, there's fellowship. And it all comes on the hub of Jesus Christ, that when we come together, he's got a purpose, he has a plan, and it's not, and he hasn't called for any lone rangers. We're all to come to him. We all are, and then through him, there's unity in the church. Through him, we encourage, we inspire one another. Through him, there is true fellowship. And then when that happens, and only when that happens, is my understanding of Scripture, can we truly, truly accomplish God's work. So I ask, what is your vision today? What is your vision? And if you don't have a vision, I challenge you to pray for one. Because Scripture is clear that he's called us all to do something. He's called us all to be a part. You know, I have a vision for the church, and I'm calling it more of a pre-vision, not a provision, but a pre-vision. The vision that I have is to mobilize the church. Now, when I say the church, I'm talking about individually, each one of you, and corporately, us as a whole, to mobilize the church to fulfill our God-given purpose. And how are we going to do that? According to your giftedness, through loving God, through loving people, through living His Word for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission. To mobilize. And we break it down to these four elements here, these four components. The problem here is that God has established His church, us and others. Why? For the purpose of sowing the seeds of the gospel. But it's a reality that the American church, and we can maybe even confess it here if we look at it close, we've become stagnant in a few of those areas. So what's the solution? Mobilize. I like that word. I don't know if it's because of my military background, but it's just mobilize, to rally, to assemble, to gather together, to mobilize, to make it happen, to go and make disciples. That's the solution. And it's not that I read that somewhere. Scripture, for those of you. Why? What is the purpose? Because God has made His Great Commission clear. It is so clear. It is so clear for us to consider doing anything else in life other than His Great Commission. If we call ourselves Christian, it's we've just deceived ourselves. You've been called to salvation for a purpose. And the Great Commission is so clear that if we're not taking some part about it or part in it, we are in sin. Now, you might be clueless today. You're like, what are you talking about? I tell you what, God created this world in a certain way. He created it perfectly. He created us to have relationship with Him. But then sin entered the world. And through that sin, there was separation. That relationship that we once had with God, it was severed. And God gave us different ways that we could try to, you know, make amends and through sacrifices and different things. But then He said, hey, I love you so much, and you're failing. And we see in Noah, with Noah, he wanted to destroy the world. He was sorry that he made man. We see with this difference through Israel in 722 B.C. where He took them into captivity, destroyed them. We see Him in Judah, finally in 586 B.C. They're taken into to captivity. And just over and over and again, and finally we see He sends the prophets, and He says, hey, I'm sending a Messiah. He sent a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. And there is only one way to fulfill that restoration with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You may be thinking about a vision, something you have in your heart, something that would be great, would make you a good person, would make you stand out in the community. But without the Holy Spirit, without Christ, without it being through Christ, it is nothing. And then through Christ, there is now that restoration of that original purpose for creation. It has yet to happen. It occurs in our hearts. So the kingdom is here, but not yet. Do you know Jesus Christ? There will be a day that will come, that we'll be in judgment, that will go, and it will be, do you know me or do you not? There's only two identities that are out there for human beings. And we like all try to, you know, what's my identity? Who am I? You know, I don't know, motorcyclist. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I'm a secretary. I'm a CEO. I'm a boss. I'm a whatever your hobby is, a motorcyclist. Or I mean, we can just keep going. But it comes down, a duck hunter? Yeah, not yet. It comes down to two things. Are you identified in Christ or are you not? It's that clear. Do you belong to Christ or do you not? That's the importance. That is the purpose for that vision, to mobilize the church. Because there, God has made His Great Commission clear. And the importance of this is that there are people who do not know Christ. Therefore, they're going to hell if they die tonight. You know what? And probably 100% of these people that if we went and tell them about Jesus Christ, that they would think that you are a fool. That's foolishness. That's folly. I didn't make that up. We read about that too. But it's through the Holy Spirit. When you go and share, if it's not without the Holy Spirit, it is just words. It's folly. But when we have that vision for that person and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray for an opportunity, we pray for favor, we pray that He would open up their ears and they would give us the words to say, the deeds to do, the things to the way to serve in these people's lives for the purpose of salvation, then the Holy Spirit gets involved. And we've seen that the Holy Spirit, God will give us all we need of the Holy Spirit if we ask Him and if we mean it. Vision. That's my vision for our church, is to mobilize and to fulfill our Great Commission. Now, I have other ideas in my heart that still need confirmation, that still need definition, that still need examination. I have a vision for family group ministry. I have a vision for church planting and church building, not like construction, but people, and church revitalization. I have a vision for internships to develop church planters, not so much to go out in the mission field, but to plant them right in the middle of a dead church. Because in our country, there is too many people that would, or groups of or organizations that would be called a dead church. And I struggle with that. You can't be dead and you can't be a church at the same time. Because a church is those who follow Christ and they are alive. That's the mission field I have a vision for. Has God put what to do there yet? No. I have a vision for understanding this community, and then for the purpose of seeking how do we serve it. Nobody understands this community. I've talked to different people. I've talked to pastors. I've talked to other people. I've talked to the people that live in it. Well, we have these people, that people. There's so much diversity. I want to understand it and pray, what God can we do to serve this community for you? But what's your vision? What is your heart? What has God put on your heart to do for Him? How has He gifted you? How has He empowered you? What does He drive you to pray about? What do you look at and say, hey, this is a problem? And instead of complaining about it, have you prayed, Lord, how can I do something about it? And not what I can do, but what would you have me do about it? More often, you know, when it comes to definitely to relationships, you know, we're more apt to invite somebody to church than we are to really evangelize or to share our testimony with them. I tell you, again, coming to church is not the problem, or not the solution to the problem. It's Jesus. It's His gospel. And just a final, I don't even know why I want to share. I came at this with this yesterday when I was studying for this. Think about the circulatory system. Go back to 10th grade when you're in your biology class. And Dr. Dole, if I mess this up, you can help me out. But you know, you got the heart that's pumping blood through you. And the aorta is the big thing. You know, the blood does nothing in that, the big arteries. It does nothing. It's just traveling. And that's kind of what the church is. You know, here we are in the big artery here, and we go through the lungs, the pulmonary, we get oxygenated. But it's when those cells, those blood cells, and I'm comparing you all to blood cells, it is not until the blood cells get into the tiny, tiny capillaries that they can actually do their work. It's in those capillaries that they are able to exchange the oxygen and the carbon dioxide and whatever else they do. It's only in those tiny, tiny one-on-one where they get so small where it's just cell after cell after cell. And that's the same thing here. This church is like us meeting together is where we get oxygenated. It's where we get filled, we get encouraged, we get the word, we hopefully hear from the Holy Spirit to what can we be doing in our life. And then you go out and then you get to those little places where you walk through one by one by one and you're able to rub elbows with those people that have been put in your life for a purpose. And then that is when you can share your testimony. And then, boom, it cycles around again, just like in the circulatory system. And you come in, you get reoxygenated, and we go out and we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And God has a vision for each one of us in our individual lives. And God has a purpose for our church. We'll be praying about that. Friends, as I close, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Without that, you cannot have a vision. You cannot have, you cannot. Without that, there nothing in life matters other than that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then after that, life matters greatly. Don't leave today without talking to me about that. I'll be over here. I'll be hanging around at the end. If you want to join the church, you've been hanging around for a while. You've been praying. You've been seeking, Lord, is this your vision for me to be a part of this church? I invite you to do that today. Maybe baptism is something you've been thinking about, shaking around, looking at. Lord, should I do this? Come talk to me today. With that, we'll have our Deacon of the Week pray, and then we'll sing a song, and then I hope you have a blessed week.